exciting time on getting our song for tonight, and Allie was playing, originally I was going to sing Born to Die, and somebody stole that, and then I was going to sing, I was thinking of singing Oh Holy Night. I love to sing that, and Allie was playing it one night in the teen room, and I said, Allie, if you can, would you play for me on Sunday night, Christmas night, if I sing Oh Holy Night. I heard her practicing, and she was doing a good job, and so she agreed to, and we were all excited, and then somebody stole that, and so I had her find the music. She found the music, and she just worked on it and played so well, and it's a beautiful song, and it does go with the message tonight, the title of the message, Mary, Did You Know? Luke 1, verse 46, and Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God, my Savior. I say tonight, Mary knew. She knew. There was a lot that Mary knew. Father, bless the preaching. Speak to our hearts. Give us what we need. Challenge us tonight, Lord, from your word. We need you. We need you so desperately. Thank you for saving us. Now, please work in our hearts, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, Mary and Joseph, the story is an amazing story. As a child, you don't really, of course, we didn't grow up in church, but I heard the story off and on, and don't really think about all that that surrounded the story of Mary and Joseph being espoused to one another, and literally like an engagement period. They had gone through the marriage ceremony, the Jewish ceremony, that they would go through, and then they would wait a year before they came together physically, and therefore it was like an engagement period, and it was during this time that Mary, Joseph's wife, literally because of the ceremony, found out that she was going to have a child. And again, the amazement as you think about her explaining that to Joseph, and Joseph not understanding that until God explains to Joseph, and God reveals to him his will. And I'm sure, being ostracized by those around them and people around them and all that they went through, but excited, knowing that God was going to give them a very special child. And they would dream and they would plan their plans for their child, just as many of us have done, and those that have had children. We've been excited about thinking what it was going to be like for our children, and planning them to grow up and everything. I think of the song, and it kind of looks back on, Mary, did you realize what all was going to be? Did you ever dream? Did you ever think it would be like it ended up being? And of course, we get older, we look back at scrapbooks, and my mom kept many, many scrapbooks, and I have all those, and unfortunately, my wife has let a few of those pictures get out. But we look back at different things. And of course, our children when they were little, and Dave actually used to be cute, and it's just amazing to think about. Did you ever dream? Did you ever think that it would be like it was? And Mary, did you know? Did you know, Mary? I mean, did you really know? I mean, the angel appeared, sure, and you knew this was special. You knew this was special because you had never been with a man. You knew that God had blessed you and allowed you to bring the Messiah into the world. You knew that, Mary. There were things that you knew. And I've broken this down into 3 points, and I just want to give them to you tonight. And first of all, Mary knew. She knew. There were some things Mary knew. And I submit to you tonight that Mary, though, that is a special story, and we love it, and we tell it as a Christmas story. We're excited about it every time. I am. Every time I tell the story, I'm excited. Emmanuel, God with us, and all that took place there. But, you know, Mary really isn't any different than we are. There were things Mary knew that we know. There are things Mary knew that you can know. There were things that were nailed down in her mind, in her heart, that she knew that you can know. And really, as we think about her life, it is not much different than ours, and it follows a pattern, I think, that you'll see tonight as we go through this. Mary knew. She really knew. There was much she knew. First of all, she knew God. She knew God. By the way, you can know God tonight. Maybe you're here and not saved, and you don't know God. And here it is, Christmas Day, 2011, and that'd be the greatest day of your life if you got to know God tonight, if you met God in salvation. Mary knew God. Mary was saved. In Luke 1 and verse 28, the Bible says, when the angel appeared, the angel came in under her, "Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee." And Mary knew the Lord. The Lord was with her. Now, Mary was not the sinless mother of God like the Catholics believe. She had to be saved. She had to trust Christ as her Savior. She says so in verse 47 that we read earlier, "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." And verse 48, she says, "He hath regarded the low estate of his handmaid." She knew what she was. She knew she was a sinner. She knew she had to be saved. And by getting saved, by trusting Christ as her Savior, oh, listen, she knew God. She knew God. Hey, do you know God tonight? I mean, we're about done with 2011. Have you met God? Have you gotten saved? Have you trusted Christ? She knew God. God was real to Mary. There's no question that God was very close to her. God had spoken to Mary's heart before. God had dealt with her before. God had convicted her before. You say, how do you know that? Well, in Luke 1:29, I think it's interesting. The Bible says, when she saw him, talking about the angel, when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying. Doesn't say she was troubled at his appearance. Doesn't say she was troubled at his voice. Doesn't say it bothered her that someone spoke to her heart. Didn't seem to bother about that. She was troubled at what he had to say, but not the fact that he said it. You know, as Christians, we should never be troubled. We should never be startled. We should never be wonder what it is when God speaks to our heart. We should never question what it is when God deals with us. We should never question what it is when we're convicted about something in our lives. We should actually expect that to happen in our lives. We should never be startled when in a church service like this one on Christmas night, that God would speak to our heart, and God may call a young man to be a preacher. God may call a young lady to be a missionary. God may speak to your heart. Oh, listen, if you'll open up your ears and your spiritual ears and you'll listen, God may tell you to do some great thing. God may tell you to do some wonderful thing. God may tell you to get rid of some things in your life. You say, well, I just came tonight because it's Christmas. You know, you're supposed to go to church. Why don't we come expecting God to speak to us? Hey, Mary knew God. And when you know somebody, don't you expect them to talk to you? It wasn't a shock to her because she knew him. She knew him. Mary knew God. Then the second thing I think of that she knew, she not only knew God, she knew God's word. No doubt she knew Isaiah 7:14. She was a good girl and a girl that walked with God, and I'm sure she knew the promise of God. And look at it, Isaiah 7:14. We haven't turned there this Christmas season. I made reference to it a couple times, but I'd like you to see it. Isaiah 7:14, and in my mind, I imagine her as a little girl in Sunday school, and she heard that verse and maybe heard somebody preach about that verse, and then she maybe memorized that verse. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. She knew Emmanuel meant God with us. She knew more than the liberals do today who say the word virgin there just means a young woman. She knew what a virgin was. And she knew she was one. And all of a sudden now, you've got to imagine that as Gabriel is telling her this story, hey, she knew the word of God and she knew the promise that the Messiah was coming. And all of a sudden, it's becoming very clear to her. Wow, the Messiah is coming. You know, I wonder what it's going to take for Christians to understand that Jesus Christ is coming. I wonder what is it going to take? I mean, you know God, and you've trusted Christ as Savior, but do you know God's word? God said over and over again, he's coming again. Do you suppose people made fun and laughed at the fact that Messiah is coming? Oh, sure, yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. I can hear them. I can just imagine how they mocked about that and thought that was funny. I don't know, Anna and Simeon were waiting on it. They were waiting on him. How many Christians are waiting on him tonight? I mean, would it disrupt your plans if Jesus came tonight? Would it mess everything up if before 2012 ever took place? Would it mess you up if Jesus came? The trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ rise first. And all of a sudden you're there and oh, you know, boy, I'm shocked. You know, we shouldn't be. We should be looking for him. We should be looking for him. And but again, if you know God's word, you'll know. You'll know that he's coming. And he can come anytime, any day, anytime. Are you ready for him to come? Mary knew God's word. Mary knew God's ways. We get that from what she says after visits Elizabeth. She's so excited, she can't hardly stand it. By the way, I wish Christians would get excited, honestly. It irritates me so much that we can't be excited. But if you really know God's ways, you'd be excited. By the way, when you walk with someone enough, you learn their ways. And Mary knew God's ways. What do you mean? Well, she knew God's grace. She knew it, no doubt about it. In verse 28, the angel said to her, the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail thou that art highly favored." You know what favored is there? That's grace. That's grace. That's all grace. Mary, you are highly favored. Wait a minute. She knew her low estate. She talked about that. She knew her Savior had to save her. But the angel said, "Mary, you're highly favored. You have grace." You say, "Boy, if that were me, I'll tell you." It is you. What are you talking about? We're highly favored. We have the grace of God on our lives. It's by grace that we're saved through faith. It's by grace that we have a church tonight. It's by grace that we have Christian brothers and sisters. It's by grace that we have a job. It's by grace that we have anything. It's by grace that we're Americans. God's grace. It's wonderful. Verse 30, the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found," there it is again, "thou hast found favor with God." You say, "Boy, I'll tell you, I'd sure like to have favor with God." You have it. It's His grace, all the gifts, everything God gives, all that He provides, all the blessings. He doesn't have to do that. It's His grace. It's His grace. And Mary knew God's ways of grace. And, you know, it's interesting in Luke 1, verse 46, she magnifies, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." When we know His ways, we're going to praise Him. There it is. There's our little western town. And the rocks will cry out. Amen. I've got them. I may get my rocks out someday. I've got, what's that one called? Pete Praise and Sam Stone, or what is it? Barney Boulder and Sam Stone. And one day I was preaching about the rocks crying out, and we put them on the pulpit, and I got wound up and started shaking the pulpit, and they fell off and hit the Lord's Supper table, and the fathers were angry. I didn't care. You know, if we don't praise, the rocks will cry out. And, but again, when we know Him, we know His ways. And she knew His ways, and she said, "My soul doth magnify the..." She couldn't stand it. I'm not talking about running around swinging from the chandeliers and all that. I'm just saying, tell your face to be happy. Tell your body to, "Well, I'm wore out. We've opened gifts all day long." Oh, pity, but you could have no gifts. Then you would have had nothing to do all day long. You know, I know some of you dads put stickers on all day long. I remember those days. But, you know, I know that's, hey, you should have been back in the days when you had to lick the stickers. Now they're just peel and put. Amen. Boy, back in the lick days, it was tough. I mean, you'd go to bed and your mouth would be glued. But she knew God's ways of grace. She knew God's ways of mercy. She said that He hath regarded the lowest state of His handmaiden. God's mercy. God's mercy. Amen. She knew about that. Verse 50, she said, "His mercy is on them that fear Him from generation to generation." Preached about it last week. His mercy. She knew His way of mercy. She knew His might. Verse 49, "He that is mighty hath done to me great things." She knew about God's might. She knew in verse 51, "He has showed strength with His arm. He scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts." Verse 52, "He has put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." She knew how powerful God was. She knew His ways, but she also knew His way of compassion. Verse 53, "He hath filled the hungry with good things." Hey, that's us. Amen. You know, you say, "Well, you know, I work hard." Who gave you the job? Who gave you the health? Who gave you the way to get the food? Amen. Who put you in America where there is food? There's a lot of starving Christians tonight. When did you thank God today eating that fourth cookie? Did you thank God that you had that fourth cookie? Did you thank God on that second portion? Did you thank God that you had a portion at all? I mean, seriously, folks, we take a lot for granted. We take a lot and simply just kind of think maybe we did it or something. Listen to me. It's our God that loves us, our God that provides, our God that has compassion. And He hath hope in His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy. Oh, He's always there to help. He loves us and He has compassion. She knew God. She knew God's word. She knew God's ways. Number four, she knew God's works. She knew God's works, no question about that. Verse 34, she talks about God's works. I love this story. And then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? She knew what she was. She knew she was pure. She knew she was the virgin. She knew. There was no question about that. And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, the power of the highest. Now, I'm not talking about giving birth to Messiah, but I do know this. I know the Holy Ghost would like to come on you. And I know the Holy Ghost would like to give you power. And I know the Holy Ghost would like to give us power. You say, oh boy, that was an amazing thing back there. And whoopee. And I'll tell you what, it changed her life when the Holy Ghost came on her. Again, I'm not talking about speaking in tongues and rattling off a bunch of stuff and getting all bent out of shape. And I'm just talking about the Holy Spirit giving us power today, in this world today. I'm talking about prayer power. I'm talking about God answering your prayer. I'm talking about God doing something with your life. Man, we are so busy messing around with all kinds of garbage, and the Holy Ghost would like to give us power and do something great. But see, she knew God's works. You say, boy, that was a great work. God still does good works. And God's still in the works business. Amen? He is very interested in that. Verse 35, verse 36, behold, wait a minute. I've got them all written down here. Verse 37, she says, with God nothing shall be impossible. I'm afraid Christians today, many won't say that. Because you don't really believe it. And there are so many Christians today that just, hey, if everybody believed it, the place would be packed. Amen. I'm not talking about just our people. I'm talking about the whole city. I mean, if everybody believed that God can do anything, then why would we ever have a seat empty in church? It doesn't make sense, does it? But well, we walk around with our heads hanging low, and we're discouraged about this and discouraged about that and always looking for the grass to be greener somewhere else. Oh, you know, and just thinking, oh, there must be something. Listen to me. There's a God in heaven and a God that is in you, if you're saved, that wants to do something great with you. He wants to use you in a great way. She knew God's works. By the way, Elizabeth knew God's works too. The Bible says that when Elizabeth and Mary got together, verse 41, it came to pass when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. That's John the Baptist. He's fired up. He was fired up in his mama's womb. The babe leaped in her womb. If he was the average Baptist, he would have just said, There'd have been no movement, no kicking, nothing happening. But bless God, he was a spirit-filled Baptist, and he leaped in the womb. And she said, woohoo! Amen. You know, it's in the Greek. I know these things. I had 4 years of it. But look, she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? She knew God was doing a work. How did she know that God was doing that work? Because she too was filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah, you know, she knew. She knew God was working. And, you know, God's works, it's something to know. You say, well, if that happened to me, I'd be, why isn't it happening to you? Okay, you're not going to give birth to the Messiah. All right, so what? God has a work he wants to do with you. And it's a great work he wants to do. Mary knew. She knew God. She knew God's word. She knew God's ways. She knew God's works. But you know, the greatest thing, I think, that Mary knew is she knew God's will. I'm amazed how many people are struggling to find. You know, there are some people, honestly, Christians, who never will know God's will for their life because they're messing around. They're messing around. They want to go to a mission field, but they won't reach their home field. You see it all the time. They want to go anywhere and everywhere except right where they are. Well, bless God, I'll go and I'll read all the way through my Bible if I can go to China. Really, you're going to get a new power to read when you go to China? Why don't you read through your Bible here, now? Oh, I'll pray. Hey, you know, I'll pray and I'll be a great prayer warrior down in Mexico. Really? Why is that? Are you all of a sudden going to start praying in Spanish? Amen. No, listen to me. We're messing around. What is God's will? Well, in everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. We know that's the will of God. We know that. There is no question about that. In everything, give thanks. That means quit griping, quit whining, quit complaining, give thanks. I don't like this. I don't like that. I don't want this. I don't want that. Okay. Then you're not doing the will of God, and quit playing games. Mary had plenty to gripe about. Mary had plenty of things to whine about. Mary could have complained about all kinds of things. But I love what she says in verse 38. Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Be it unto me according to thy word. I love that passage of Scripture. I watch Christian after Christian after Christian run from that right there. And many times they're running from it, saying they're running to the will of God. But the truth of the matter is, if you won't read your Bible and you won't pray and you won't have devotions with your family and you won't go to church faithfully and you won't go soul winning and you won't do the things that God says to do clearly in His Word, you're not going to do anything. Ever. Those are the basics of the will of God. You want God to write across the sky, "Here's what I want you to do, give birth to the Messiah." Listen to me. You better start doing the things that you know are the things to do, the will of God. And Mary said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." And she knew the will of God for her life for that moment right there. Amen. Now you have to keep in mind, she now, I think, is figuring out that this is the Messiah. But remember this, the Messiah to the Jews was going to have a sword. And he was going to be a great leader and a conqueror. Mary didn't see Jesus with his skin hanging from his body, nailed to a cross. She hadn't seen that. But she said, "God, whatever your will is." And she's taken every step, just doing right along the way, because she wants the will of God for her life. That is an awesome truth in the Scripture. She knew the will of God. She didn't question it. You know, what if this? What if that? You know, even after Simeon said what he said, and look at it in Luke 2, verse 34. Luke 2, verse 34. I mentioned Anna and Simeon, two people just waiting for the Messiah. Luke 2, 34. Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against." And wow, boy, that's exciting. Again, in her mind, she's going through a lot. In her mind, Messiah, Christ, anointed one, conqueror. But then Simeon says this in verse 35, "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also." But in her heart was, "God, whatever your will is, that's all that matters." But she knew it. This was the will of God for her life. I'm reminded of Deuteronomy 24, "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." She would have known that verse too. Amen. "As thy days, so shall thy strength be." And you know, she, and we'll look at this in a minute, but she had to have wondered what he was talking about. "A sword shall pierce through thy own soul also." But she knew that God was going to take care of her, because Mary knew God. Mary knew God. She knew God's word. She knew God's ways. She knew God's works. She knew God's will. But here's the key, and I've just got a couple more points here. Look at Jeremiah 33:3. Here's something that there's no question about. There were some things she didn't know. Jeremiah 33:3, many of you have this memorized. Use it for your life verse. "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." So there was much that she knew, but there were obviously some things that she didn't know, but there were things that she could know, and she was about to find out. Number one, Mary knew, and that leads me to number two, Mary grew. all the things she knew. Now, by the way, most of what she knew, you could know. Anybody in this room, you could plug that in. You can know God by being saved. You can know God's word by reading it. You can know God's ways by walking with him and reading his word and memorizing his word. You can know God's works by letting him work through you. We are his workmanship, and you can know God's will. I know, you're waiting on some mystical thing to happen. You're waiting on some voice out of the sky. I'd be real careful with that voice. We have his voice right here. And you know, oh, I'm just waiting on this mystical revelation from God. Okay, I don't think God's going to give you any mystical revelation until you take the word that he gave you and start doing it. Amen. And so Mary knew, and then Mary grew. Mary grew. And I love it. Luke 2, verse 19. you know, the shepherds all come, and the sky is lit up from the angels. I mean, what a sight. What an amazing thing. And the Bible says in verse 19, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. She got her phone out, and she took pictures of everything. And she filed them away in the memory chip thing, whatever, doohickeys. I knew I was getting in. You knew I was headed for trouble, didn't you? Anyway, but she put them in her scrapbook. And every now and then she went back and she looked at them and she pondered those things. You know, one of the best ways of growing is to meditate on the things that God's done. And to meditate on what better place to start than the Word of God. I don't know how many times I have read through the Christmas story from Matthew and from Luke and gone to Galatians and Isaiah and just read through the different passages of Scripture here in the last few weeks and just pondered, just thought about what all took place, just thought about everything that took place, thought about the time that when I was 17 years old and God made a manger out of my heart and Jesus was born in my heart. And I was saved and pondered that and thought about that. And that's, you know, Mary grew. She meditated on those things. She remembered. She thought about where she was from. She knew her low estate. She knew that he was her Savior. And she meditated on those things. And she had to grow just like we had to grow. Just like you and I need to grow. Like we need to keep growing. And how do you grow? Well, you just take what you know and ponder on it. Take what you know. She knew God. She knew God's word. She knew God's ways. She knew God's work. She knew God's will. And then she just pondered on all those things. I imagine every now and then she'd look over at Joseph and say, remember all those shepherds? Wasn't that something? Those shepherds, huh? And in a manger where little lambs are born. Isn't that something? That's amazing. And, you know, the lamb is a sacrifice. Isn't that something? And she just pondered. All the sacrifice. And that thing that Simeon, that elderly fella, you know, she would have been respectful and not said the old man. You know, that elderly fella, he said that a sword would pierce me also. And she pondered on all those things. She had to grow. Because something was going to happen, wasn't it? Something huge was going to happen. And she had to grow. Do you know why that huge thing might not be happening in your life? Because you haven't grown to be able to handle it yet. Yeah, you know, I look back and we kid around so much about college days and all that and being a young pastor and all those days and everything. But things had to happen because we had to grow so we could handle the other things that were going to happen. And you have to grow. And there is such a thing as growing pains. Jesus was 12 years old, and it was Passover time. And literally, his parents lost him, 12 years old. He was in the temple preaching to the backslider. I mean, anyway, Luke 2, verse 48. I love the story. When they saw him, they were amazed, and his mother said unto him, Son, why hast thou thus dealt with us? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my father's business? And they have to wonder about that. And they understood not the saying which he spake unto them. Why? Well, because his father obviously was a carpenter, and they didn't notice Jesus in there building anything. And, he was in the temple. And the Bible says he went down with them and came to Nazareth. Watch this now. And was subject unto them. But his mother kept all these sayings in her heart. What was she doing? She's pondering. She's taking everything that she knew and she's meditating on all the things that she knew to be true. She kept it, she guarded it, and now she's growing. So then in John chapter 2, look at it. John chapter 2 and verse 1, she's becoming quite the Christian. Amen. John 2 and verse 1, the third day was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. The mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. She's pretty sure. I like when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. And she looked at him like, take care of this, all right? You take care of this. You can. We know you can take care of this. You take care of this. I like Christians that really believe God can do it. I really do. I like to be around people that just, they really believe God can do it. Folks that, you know, I don't know what we're going to do. You know, okay, well, God bless you. I'll counsel you. I'll try to help you and encourage you and leave you with a smile or something. But I like folks just, you know, it's like deacons. When we first started our church in Indiana, and we'd have our budget meeting. And, of course, back in those days, you know, it was a small group of people, and we didn't have any money. And it was so much fun because here's the budget. Now here's where the budget is. And I'd always have it would always be one of these deacons, you know, and he'd say, why don't we just trust God? And I'd kind of look at him like, what do you mean? Let's just make the budget what we need and trust God for it. And you know, all in favor, aye, and you know, a couple of guys are kind of, you know, looking around and everything. And well, I like stuff like that. By the way, that same guy took selling little gallon jugs of popcorn, and now he has a huge popcorn business because he did the same thing with his life. I like it when Christians just believe God can do anything. And, you know, Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. She said, I want you to do a miracle. That's what I'm looking for. His mother saith unto the servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Do it. You can trust him. He's going to take care of this thing. Do it, whatever he says. That's growth. It's growth when we finally can say, you know, whatever he says, that's what I'm going to do. I'm not worried about what everybody else says. I'm going to do what he says. John 19, verse 25. John 19, 25. John 19, 25. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. And there she is. Yeah. And his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, woman, behold thy son. And then saith he to the disciple, behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. It's amazing to me. Mom, I'm going to depart now. And John, he's the disciple that I want you to stay with. He's going to take care of you, Mom. Now you go, Mom. She'd grown to trust him, to know. Oh, there'd be tears, there'd be sorrow, you know that. There's no question. It's her son hanging on a cross. He's done nothing wrong. Wait a minute. Isn't he the conqueror? Can you imagine Mary? Can you imagine her talking to God? In my mind, I've gone through this. God, he's the Messiah. He's the Savior. You said God with us. Why is he dying? Why is he going to be crucified on a cross? And how could you let this happen to him? And, you know, but she's grown to trust him. Mary knew. Mary grew. And the last thing, Mary stayed true. Okay, because here's a crisis in her life. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, and it's a precious verse. Acts 1, verse 14. Jesus has ascended into heaven after the resurrection, and verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And they all continued, which means they had been praying and walking with God. And Mary stayed true. She stayed true. Now, folks, honestly, this story should be repeated in every life in this room. Oh, not giving birth to the Messiah. I understand that. But why can't God do great things with us? The only reason's us. It's not because he's not willing to. It's us. But you know how many people, when they get to the foot of that cross, and they see all their dreams totally wiped out at that cross? Do you know how many people quit? Do you know how many turn back? Do you know how many that they were so excited and imagine on Christmas night, the light is aflame with the angels of God in heaven singing glory to God in the highest. And the joy, the thrill, the shepherds come and they worship the Son, and Mary's excited. And boy, you know, but at the foot of the cross, it's not so exciting. It's not so fun. I think Elizabeth said it best, and we'll close with this. Luke 1 and verse 45. Luke 1, 45. And right here's just a nice little outline. And blessed is she that believed. There's where it started. When Mary got saved, I don't know how old she was. Might have been in a Sunday school class. Maybe it was in junior church. Maybe somebody was clowning around and Mary went forward and got saved. I don't know. Could have been in the Christian school, maybe in her first grade class, or might have been in one of the, maybe a chapel service somewhere, and Mary got saved. Blessed is she that believed. For there shall be. There's going to be a future. Something's going to happen, but you have to grow to be able to handle whatever it is that's going to happen. You have to grow. The Koreas had opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after they got saved to quit. They had to grow. Growing's not fun. It never is fun. Ask a little baby who's teething how fun it is. By the way, we all did that. Some are doing the reverse of that. But anyway, we won't. There shall be a performance of those things which were told. Whatever God says, it is going to happen. I ask you tonight, what do you know? What do you know? Do you know God? Are you saved? Do you know God's word? Do you know God's ways? Do you know God's works? Do you know God's will? Mary, do you know? Mary, is there any way you could have known? Well, I know God. I know God's word. I know what he said. I know his ways. I know his works. I know his will. Let me ask you, you know those things. Do you think about them? Do you chew on them? Has the world pulling you away from them time after time after time? I mean, all the things that I know, the world doesn't want me to know. Satan doesn't want me to know. But I know them, and I think about them, and I ponder them, and I want to grow. Why? Because I want God to use me. Mary knew, Mary grew, Mary stayed true. And I wonder, you know, will you stay true? 2011's almost over. What's God going to do in 2012? Well, the Mayans say that, I don't know about any of that stuff. I just know this. I know God has, we are his workmanship. And you know, there shall be a performance of those things. There shall be a performance of those things. The only thing stopping the performance in our lives is us. That's it. Do you think in the Christmas story, a lot of things had to happen? They did happen. It all happened. Born in Bethlehem, born of a virgin. When the fullness of time has come, star came, star shined, certain time, right time, exact time. Everything had to happen just like that. Star obeyed, right? Yeah. Animals in the stable, shepherds came. Everything had to happen just like it happened. Angels, they all obeyed. They did what they were supposed to do. They shined bright, sang. Bible doesn't say they sang, but we think they did. We'd have to rewrite our songs if they didn't, right? I mean, all that's going on and everything happened just like it was supposed to happen. Wise men came, they worshiped him. Gold, frankincense, myrrh, all that had to happen just like it happened. Amen. Oh yeah, Jesus had to be crucified too. And that happened just like it had to happen too. So we could be saved. That is God's will. And at any point, Mary could have said, I'm out of here. I quit. I want nothing to do with this. I want God's will, but I want the angels to keep singing. I want God's will, but I want the rejoicing to keep going on. I want God's will, but I want the skies to keep being lit up. Mary, you're going to have to get ready because you're going to be at the foot of the cross. And that is the will of God. Sometimes, folks, the foot of the cross is the will of God. Sometimes the valley is where we're supposed to be. Sometimes the heartache is where we're supposed to be. But all of it has a performance of God written right on it that is what has to happen so we can do whatever it is he wants us to do. Let's bow our heads, please. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one's looking. No one's talking. Is there someone here tonight who's never trusted Christ as Savior? You'd say, preacher, if I died right now, I do not know whether I'm going to heaven. I'm not sure whether I'm saved. Please pray for me. Anyone at all? Raise your hand. I do not know whether I'm saved. Never trusted Christ as Savior. Pray for me. Pray for me. Anyone like that? How many Christians would say, preacher, I'm a Christian. I'm saved, but God's spoken to my heart tonight about something. Please pray for me. Raise your hand. All over. God's speaking to my heart as a Christian. Father, bless the invitation now, and we thank you so much for what Mary knew. We too can know. We thank you for the way Mary grew, and we too can grow. And I thank you, Lord, that Mary just kept going, and we ought to keep going as well. God, how many Christians miss out on big things? Big things, great things, because they run, because they quit, because they don't like the foot of the cross. Oh God, I pray we'd not miss anything that you have for us, but we'd just do your will. Please bless the invitation now, I pray in Jesus' name.